John Mason Neal was an Anglican minister who was born in London in 1818 and named in honor of a Puritan ancestor as a sign of his family's deep Protestant convictions. Neal studied Latin and Greek at Cambridge University, where he was considered the finest student in his year. And while he was an undergraduate, Neal encountered the work of John Henry Newman and the Oxford movement. He became a devoted member of the High Church Party within the Church of England, and between his ordination in 1842 and his premature death at age 48, Neal worked for the restoration within the Church of England of classical Christian teaching and liturgical arts. He even helped to found an Anglican religious community of women, among the first in England since the Reformation. Neal's health was too frail to manage a parish, so he spent his entire ministry in charge of what we would call a homeless shelter. But he also worked constantly to translate ancient liturgical texts from Greek and Latin into English. Because of his Catholic convictions, Neal was despised by many other Anglicans, and his genius went all but unrecognized in his day. Father Neal was even physically assaulted at the funeral of one of the sisters in the community he fostered because he was hated for being, as his critics said, a secret papist among Protestants, and the congregation-turned mob threatened to stone him or burn down his house. I mention John Mason Neal today because later at this Mass, when we sing our hymn after Holy Communion, you'll find him listed at the bottom of the music as the translator of the hymn. The text was written in Latin in the 12th century by a man named Peter Abelard, who was a philosopher, theologian, and poet. Abelard taught in Paris at the Notre Dame Cathedral School, where he was the most popular professor at a time when the Catholic cathedral schools of Europe were on the cusp of becoming the world's first universities. Abelard was brilliant, handsome, and arrogant, but he met his match in a beautiful woman named Heloise, who was also a first-class scholar with a fierce spirit. Abelard and Heloise became lovers in the home of her uncle, a priest named Fulbert, who had invited Abelard into his household as a teacher and tutor. When the affair became known, Fulbert sent Abelard packing, but the two lovers continued seeing each other in secret, and Heloise became pregnant. They were quickly married, but then for complicated reasons decided to separate, with Abelard becoming a monk and Heloise becoming a nun after the birth of their son. Uncle Fulbert had his revenge on Abelard in a deeply unpleasant way. Be sure to look it up. And the complicated relationship between Abelard and Heloise went on for the rest of their lives by correspondence. Seven of their letters survive and give us an intriguing glimpse into their world, now impossibly strange to the modern mind. Abelard proved to be an innovative philosopher, an unreliable theologian, and a gifted musician. In fact, he composed an entire hymnal for the use of the nuns in Heloise's convent. And one of those hymns is the text we will sing today, known from its first words in Latin as O Quanta Qualia. John Mason Neal translated this hymn into English with the opening words, Oh, what their joy! But the melody was most probably composed by Abelard himself 900 years ago. In both the melody and the words, we hear the deep yearning that moves a soul on fire with love to endure hardship and separation for the sake of a consummation to come. But in this case, the anticipated consummation is the life of the saints in the kingdom of God. And so Abelard begins, "Oh, what their joy and their glory must be, those endless Sabbaths the blessed ones see. Crown for the valiant, to weary ones rest. God shall be all, and in all, ever blessed." This is Abelard's description of the vision of the Apostle John, recorded in the book of Revelation in the first lesson today. A vision of a great multitude of Jews and Gentiles from every nation, race, people, and tongue, who, holding the palm branches that signify victory over suffering, stand before the throne of grace and cry out, "Salvation comes from our God who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." Then the hymn continues. "Truly Jerusalem, name we that shore, city of peace that brings joy evermore. Wish and fulfillment are not severed there, nor do things prayed for come short of the prayer." The city of God, of course, is the heavenly Jerusalem, our true home. And while we linger here in this life, we live in exile as strangers and sojourners, like the children of Israel in captivity, who from the rivers of Babylon sang the songs of Jerusalem and prayed for their return home. And so, with deep longing, Abelard goes on. "There, where no troubles distraction can bring, we the sweet anthems of Zion shall sing. While for thy grace, Lord, their voices of praise, thy blessed people eternally raise." Friends, as disciples of Jesus Christ, even as we hope to share in the communion of all the saints in glory, it is now our vocation to bear the heat of the day and to give witness by our words and our lives that only in Christ are our true dignity and eternal destiny revealed. Giving such witness, such martyrdom, requires sacrifice and can be painful. But our union with Christ can sustain us through any suffering. And so the hymn rises. "Now, in the meanwhile, with hearts raised on high, we for that country must yearn and must sigh, seeking Jerusalem, dear native land, through our long exile on Babylon's strand." For 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and for 2,000 years more since Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, it has been the privilege and duty of those who know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by grace through faith to teach the world that we exist for the praise of God's glory. And so on this Feast of All Saints, we sing with Abelard and Heloise and John Mason Neal and the whole assembly of God's people. "Lo, before him with our praises we fall, of whom and in whom and through whom are all, of whom the Father and in whom the Son, through whom the Spirit, with them ever one." This is one of my favorite hymns. The stirring melody is majestic. The poetry pierces the heart with beauty. And the lives of Abelard, Heloise, and John Mason Neal are marked by a pathos which speaks of the weight of the cross that must be borne if we are to live the beatific existence described in the gospel today by the Savior, and so come to share the joyful glory of the heavenly host. Each year on the 1st of November, the Church celebrates this solemnity of All Saints to remind us that, as St. Paul wrote to the Romans, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And the Apostle John adds in our second lesson today, "We are God's children now, What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. My friends, suffering is an inescapable part of our lives, as Abelard, Heloise, and John Mason Neal knew all too well. But as St. Paul taught the Corinthians, this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And on the far side of strife, we come to that eternal weight of glory only in and with and for the Alpha and the Omega, the eternal Word made flesh, the Son of Mary and God the Son, the Lamb once slain who lives forever, the Lord Jesus Christ.